Welcome to lucky episode number 13 of Intrepid Photography Radio, where we peek behind the lens at who is doing what in the world of photography. I am your host, Bill Ramsey of the Intrepid Now Network. Welcome from my home office in lovely Canton, Georgia. While it is a scorching 23 degrees outside, all is well inside with a glass of the Seven Deadly Zins from California. Cheers! Speaking of California, today's guest is not from there. I met Ethan about 5 years ago, and since then I've watched from a distance as his career has exploded within a really interesting niche. I think you'll enjoy hearing about the specific work he does, but I also think Ethan's path to success is a great example for anyone wanting to pursue excellence in the craft. Having spent most of his life in Hawaii, the beauty of the islands inspired him to borrow his father's 35mm SLR camera. And then Ethan didn't fall too far from the tree. His great-grandfather and great-uncle were both professional photographers, and his grandfather was an avid semi-pro photographer. Ethan's first formal training in photography was at Parker School on the Big Island. There he took photography classes taught by former Honolulu Star Bulletin chief photographer Warren Roll. While getting his degree at the University of Hawaii at Manao, Ethan further honed his photography skills as the school newspaper photographer. Most recently, Ethan attended the Texas School of Photography, where we'll see him back again this April, taking Chris Duncan's class. Incidentally, if you have happened to have missed Chris's conversation, I'll make sure I put a link to the show at the bottom of this one. It was a great conversation with him earlier on Intrepid Photography. So, anyway, Ethan is a member of the Professional Photographers of America and the American Society of Media Photographers. Ethan specializes in luxury real estate photography, architectural, commercial, fine art photography, interiors photography, resort photography, and luxury vacation rental photography. Now, there's a few more accolades I'm going to say here, but I'm a mainlander, so forgive me ye who live in Hawaii right now. So I'm doing my best on these pronunciations. Ethan's clients include Four Seasons. I can pronounce that one. Hualalai Realty, is that correct?
Pretty close, Hualalai Realty, yes.
Christie's International, Brookfield Homes Hawaii, Hilton Hotels, and W.M. Keck Observatory. Ethan was voted Real Estate Photographer of the Year in 2013, North Hawaii's Photographer of the Year 2012, and his images have been shown nationwide on National Geographic, Discovery, MSNBC, The Weather Channel, and local news channels. Most significantly, though, now they're being shown here with this post. That's pretty huge, because I'm kind of a big deal. Hey, that's not funny. Stop laughing. Ethan has fine art prints in two galleries on the Big Island, Wishard Gallery in Waimea and Harbor Gallery in Kauai. It is a pleasure for me to introduce my friend, Mr. Ethan Tweedy. Thank you, amigo, for being here.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a great honor to be on your show.
Incidentally, it's 23 degrees here in Atlanta right now. What are things looking like in Hawaii at the moment?
Well, we just hit the coldest we've ever been in 120 years, and it's cold. Let's just say we had a big blizzard on our volcanoes here on the 3rd of January, if you can believe it.
That's amazing. So give me an idea. When you say cold in Hawaii, what does that mean? Because 23 degrees in Atlanta is a blustery spring day to my friends in Crested Butte, Colorado. So how cold is it in Hawaii now?
It's all relative, right? But, you know, in Hawaii, we have most of our vacationers that come here to Honolulu or Waikiki or what have you. That's at sea level. They were hitting temperatures in high 50s at nighttime. I live at almost 3,000 feet, 2,700 feet, and it's about 10 degrees cooler here than it would be at the coast. So when I woke up this morning, it was about 50 degrees, but our mountains are close to 14,000 feet where the observatories are, and you can ski up there. There's snow up there right now, and it's been pretty busy taking snow pictures here lately.
Awesome.
Well, Ethan, you have a long family history in photography, and you've dabbled in the field much of your life. Talk to us about the time when you got really serious about photography as a profession.
Well, I was living in Texas, actually. I had left Hawaii and just pursued greener pastures, if you will, just not so much just for opportunities to do something different. And I was living in the Dallas area.
Okay, so I've got to stop you.
Oh,
you just said, I left Hawaii for greener pastures in Dallas? Man, oh man.
I know. I love Texas. I wanted to go somewhere different. And I found that the people in Texas were very similar. In fact, Texas Tejas is the Indian name, means friendly. And the hospitality, the friendliness of the people there was very similar to what we have here in Hawaii, what they call the aloha spirit. And I just wanted to try something different. And Dallas is just a shining city on the hill. And I just took a leap of faith and went out there, ended up working for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals for a wonderful 12 years. And the product that I was selling went off patent. And it was an impetus or catalyst for me to go back to my roots in photography. And it was at that point I decided that I would go to the Texas School of Photography and took my class from Steve Kozak and, you know, went on that road to become a professional photographer. But where I was living in Texas was very rural, and I just felt that I needed to be somewhere that had some, obviously, natural beauty to kind of give me a head start. I had no idea what kind of photography I was going to do. I mean, it's kind of just ended up doing the real estate and that type of photography. But that was kind of the turning point, was in 2009. And then I took that class in 2010, sold everything. I had a lake house, boat, and the whole nine yards. And I moved back to my small little town of about 10,000 people here on the Big Island. And I never looked back.
Fascinating. So tell us, how did you get into the niche of real estate, luxury home, resort photography?
Well, when I moved back, I took a job with a company that was actually doing tours to the volcano. I needed to have something to keep me busy because, you know, starting out in photography, it's not like you're making a lot of money right away. So, but that was a great opportunity for me to relearn my island. I was a geography major at University of Hawaii at Manoa, and I just the whole topography and volcanoes, and this island is just an amazing place. We've got, you know, 11 of the 13 world climates, and I just took pictures of every single phenomenon, sunsets, snow, volcanoes, you name it. I was posting everything on social media, and not overnight, but because I was so meticulous and only posting my best images, I became kind of a name for myself. I had a fan page into the Ethan Tweedy Photography. And back in 2011, when I was, after I was here for about 6 months, I'd wanted to buy a house because I didn't buy right away. Bought my house. Maybe a few months later, my real estate agent called me up and she said, "Hey, do you take pictures of real estate?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I just happened to take pictures of my house in Texas when I sold it and got an offer in 3 days." So I charged her $100 a house. I shot three houses the first day and made $300, and my picture sucked. You know, I mean, they were good by any standards, but I don't know what it was about the real estate thing. I really enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed real estate and architecture, and I decided that I would become the best photographer I could. I found this blog called Photography for Real Estate, and on there they had all these different resources from other photographers. And I just learned and then learned, and I took pictures and I just kept honing my craft. And the opportunity for me to take it to the next level occurred when this really expensive house came up for sale. It was in $10 million range at the Four Seasons Resort. The house was already listed and I wasn't that impressed with the images. And through another real estate friend, I asked her if she could get me to get into that house to photograph it pro bono for no charge. I knew that if I could do that, then I would have images for my portfolio that would kind of set the standard in terms of this is something that this guy can do. And I did that. One of the pictures from that house, one of the most amazing master baths I've ever seen in my entire life, it won the first contest on that Photography for Real Estate blog. Each month they have a different room or facade of a house that is part of the contest. And this was for master baths. I entered and I won that. And so by doing something for free to get myself to the next level, that's when it really started to snowball.
So you hit a couple of things, Ethan, in that tidbit right there that I've heard from a few different photographers on this show. Tell me if you would agree with this advice. I've heard a few people, and I think I just heard you say the same. A few really established professionals say, when you start out, do it for free, just for the learning, for the growth, for the experience. And two, only show the best of your best work. Would you agree with those two pieces of advice?
Most definitely. Just if you show something that's bad, I mean, that just doesn't look well. It's like McDonald's. I mean, they post a $2.50 Big Mac hamburger on there, but it is perfect. When you walk into McDonald's, do you ever see a Big Mac that looks that good ever? I mean,
they're never that big. It's a smashed Mac.
They're small. They've gotten smaller. But I think it's so important to really post your best foot forward. My clients never see all the pictures that I take. My pictures are crafted. They're not just snapshots. And I think that's the difference between people that aren't professional photographers, I guess, you know, whether it's on Facebook or whatever. I mean, my images, they're composites sometimes of maybe 80 pictures to create one image. So,
Ethan, you might have just answered this question a second ago when you talked about the composite, but you referenced crafting your images, not just taking pictures, the difference between a pro and an amateur. What are some of the unique challenges of the kind of work you do working in interiors and homes and real estate?
Well, I would say that there's maybe a couple different types of real estate photographers. A guy that would walk into a house and shoot it in an hour or something like that. That was part of my problem, is that because I'm so meticulous and I take so much time, not only shooting the images, but then also editing the images, I wouldn't make any money. So I had to photograph or focus my attention on the most expensive properties with clientele that can pay for that. And my images have to reflect that amount of time and the amount of money that I'm charging. But again, there's two different types of photographers, the turn and burn. And those guys are going to shoot 5 or 6, 7 houses a day. And then there's me who shoots one house in an entire day. So part of the problem with the type of photography that I do is that when we're shooting, especially here in Hawaii or anything that has a view, the homes here, a lot of times are very, very dark on the inside compared to the outside. The outside, you've got the nuclear sun and you've got to make sure that in that image, the view can be seen. And we call that like pulling window, something like that. And so I have to bring in lighting to raise the amount of light that's inside that room to somewhat match what I'm looking outside, because the differences are just so great. And on top of that, the exteriors of these homes or the lanais or porches, they use mahogany and very, very dark wood. So I've got this bright, huge, bright sun, maybe with like a pool area where it's very light colored. It's just so bright. So I come in and, like I said, I bring this lighting and we have to craft these images and light these images so that we can get both the views and the interior.
So I've heard three pieces of advice that you've given to somebody who would be interested in doing your kind of photography. One is only show your finest work. Two, don't be afraid to start for free. Three, identify the kind of clients who can pay a premium for this kind of work. Any other advice you'd give to somebody listening right now who would say, I would like to do that kind of work? Anything else you would tell them?
Well, for sure. I mean, I think there's a tremendous amount of resources online. This Photography for Real Estate blog, just Google Photography for Real Estate. Larry Lorman runs it. He's a tremendous asset to the community of architectural real estate photographers. The other thing that goes back to like Texas School and you and other people that I've met throughout my life is relationships. When I was in college, I met a friend who happened to go to the Brooks Institute of Photography in Santa Barbara. And Darren Edwards is his name. He's a tremendous photographer, does a lot of resort photography. And I called him up probably 25 years later. I hadn't talked to him or seen him in person for quite a long time. And asked him if I could fly him out to Hawaii with his lighting kit and show me the ropes. And so I flew him out here. And he stayed for, 4 or 5 days or whatever it was. And we went out and shot some really high-end homes. And he showed me his skills. I've since adapted that, but the basics are still the same no matter what. So think back to the people throughout your life, or if you've gone to a school like Texas School of Photography, reach out to those people, ask them, see if they can help you out. And that to me was another tremendous leap forward that gave me the confidence to go ask to shoot that really expensive home for free. That's what I did to get those images for my portfolio. And that's where it all started.
It's been my experience in the photography profession that basically the more successful a photographer is, if for some reason they tend to be more generous with their time and their insights for whatever reason. Well, Ethan, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you what surprises people most about your job. But right now, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Combatant Gentleman, an online menswear company that focuses on high quality essentials at prices any guy can afford. Unlike other companies that charge ridiculous markups on their clothing, Combat Gent cuts out all of the middlemen and their markups out of their production process. They own their own factories, plant their own cotton, and even own their own sheep. As a result, Combat Gent is able to offer 100% Italian wool suits for $160, dress shirts for $25, chinos for $40, and silk ties for $16. Best of all, Combatant Gentleman offers free shipping and free returns on all orders. Good Living listeners can get a free tie with any purchase by going to combatgent.com and using the code GOODLIVING, now that's two words, during your checkout process. Whether you need clothes for work or for play, Combat Gent has your back.
Welcome back to Intrepid Photography Radio, where we are joined by Mr. Ethan Tweedy of Ethan Tweedy Photography. Ethan, I warned you, what surprises people most about your job?
geez, I think, there was like a cartoon that was going around on Facebook, like what people think photographers actually do.
Right.
Like being models on the beach or something like that. Of course, that's happened before, but I think the crux of it is that, you know, you were talking earlier about how, you know, it's in a short amount of time I've got to the point where I am. I think I've condensed that though, because I've been working at least 60-hour weeks since I started, and it's a lot of hard work. And I guess the other thing that people are surprised about is how long it actually takes to get the results for these homes that I'm shooting. You know, I get hired by my clients to shoot anywhere from $5 million house to $30 million house. And the $30 million house, for example, we shot that in about easily 13 hours a day on most shoots, because we have to be there when the light is right. So we'll show up to a house at 7:30 a.m. to make sure that we get the view shots with the blue water and the blue sky, which is the best time in Hawaii. And then by the time we're finished with that, we're shooting in interiors without views, like kitchens and back bedrooms with garden views, those types of things. But then we are waiting for sunset. We are shooting for that golden hour light. And then immediately after that, we're shooting sunsets, or not sunsets, but twilight. You know, in the summertime, we're at a house till probably close to 9 p.m. after we're done packing up gear and things like that. And I say we because I cannot do this by myself. I have an assistant, Anna Pacheco, that without her help, there's no way I could do what I do. She does everything from helping me stage the shot to styling to lighting and all that kind of stuff. So
after you've spent, you mentioned the one job, 20 hours in photography time, how mm-hmm. much time roughly do you spend on that job afterwards in post-production?
It depends on the house, but I would say for every hour I'm shooting, there's close to 2 hours of editing. So a lot of times it takes me about 2 full days to edit a project. We'll come out of that anywhere from 25 to say 40 images that are highly crafted pictures that you would, you know, potentially see in a magazine. Because when we're shooting, I have to be so meticulous because they can end up being on front covers of, say, Christie's Magazine or even the New York Times or et cetera, et cetera.
Let's shift gears real quick here, Ethan. I warned the audience in the intro I wanted to talk about this, but one of the things that's interested me most about your career in the 5 years since we've met, your work has grown exponentially faster than most people's. You've gone from good to extraordinarily good. In 5 years is not a long time. I mean, to get to where you've gotten to. So let's talk about your path to success. And we all know that path to success is code work for hard work. Talk about what you've had to invest. You know, you talked about you flew a guy to Hawaii with all of his lighting gear. You know, you put him up, you paid for all that. What are some other tidbits of advice you would give somebody who wants to get on the fast track to getting good?
Well, like you said, I mean, and I mentioned earlier, it's 60 hours a week. You know, when we're shooting, it's 12 to 13 hours. I mean, so it's the amount of time that you put in. The passion quotient to me is huge. You've got to love what you do. I would do this if I didn't get paid. Let's put it that way.
You're telling your clients that you really are not interested in getting a paycheck. Is that what I heard you just say?
Well, I've got to eat, so that's my excuse.
Hey, you're in these nice homes. I'm sure they have something in the refrigerator.
Honestly, though, when I set out to become a professional photographer and not just, you know, the weekend guy or whatever, which I had been, I did the Texas School of Photography with Steve Kozak. That was huge. But lynda.com was a big resource for me. And another Brooks Institute photographer, Chris Orwig, I took all of his Lightroom classes, all of his Photoshop classes. I just love the guy. He's just a down-to-earth person. But the lynda.com format was awesome for me. There's little video snippets in each course, and it's like $30 a month to watch as many courses that you can possibly watch. And I mean, it wasn't just Chris, it was other photographers on there. And I just, every moment I had time off, I would watch videos. But I also kept and keep a subscription going, because if I get into a situation where I don't know the answer, because I don't always know the answer, I can look it up and refer back different points and projects to brush up on something, et cetera, et cetera. So those are huge. And also that in my case with, you know, the architectural photography was Photography for Real Estate blog, is they run contests, which I still enter. There's articles that come out all the time in our industry, and I just always read everything and interact. So that's, I guess, my answer there.
So let me hit you with a question that I have not primed you for. It just struck me a second ago when you referenced being a professional photographer, making that decision to be a pro instead of a hobbyist. Just out of curiosity, was there a moment when you realized, I really am a pro now? I'm not the hobbyist. I am the real deal. Was there a moment that struck you?
I think of it differently now. I know that, for example, when I was in Steve's class at Texas School, that I, in my mind, put myself there. I knew that I would be successful. There was no doubt in my mind. But now I look back at the early days and there's some great pictures and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely feel that now, maybe this was a year ago, as I'm thinking out loud, but maybe about a year ago, I realized that when every time that I shoot, my results are consistent every single time. And I think that's the key, is that I can walk into a project with confidence that I know that I can nail it. It doesn't mean I don't walk into one of these homes, for example, and it scares the, you know what, out of me, because it does, because some of these shoots are incredibly difficult, but I know that there's nothing I can't do. And so that to me is that confidence that sets my own mind apart in terms of being a professional.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me to take you off the path of our conversation with that. Thank you. It struck me and I was curious about it. So our time is drawing short. I've got two more questions for you. Let's talk about one of your photographs. Here with the post, we've got a slideshow of a lot of your incredible images. And one of these, we're looking at the observatories, and apparently we shoot laser beams at alien invaders. It looks like Halo meets Space Invaders meets Ghostbusters. What is going on in that image?
Well, that picture is taken of the world's largest and most prolific observatory on the planet, the W.M. Keck Observatory, which so happens to be based here in my little town of about 10,000 people. It's a tremendous asset to the Hawaiian Islands to have these facilities on the mountain. There's so many smart people, it blows me away. And I shot some work for Keck Observatory for their annual report. They'd had a few of my images in there. And then they commissioned me to shoot this image because it was the first time that both Keck 1 and Keck 2, there's the observatory's two telescopes that are identical, basically. The observer, Andrea Ghez, was going to be using both telescopes to look at the galactic center of the Milky Way, which is like the sun to the planets. This is the super black hole at the center of our Milky Way, our galaxy. We knew that was going to happen, that both lasers were going to be facing that same object. It never happened before. So I headed up to take that picture and I didn't know what to expect. I'd seen the lasers before, but not again at the same object. And it was just, I spent probably a couple hours at different angles shooting that the telescope. The lasers themselves are used for what's called adaptive optics. And because unlike the Hubble telescope, which is above the Earth's atmosphere, there's nothing to get in the way of the image. Whereas ground-based telescopes like Keck, they've got a view through the atmosphere, which unlike, it's sort of like if you were to look at a pebble inside of a stream, as the water goes by, that pebble gets refracted and changes and gets blurry. You can see it, you can't see it. The atmosphere does the same thing. So what they do is they shine these lasers. There's a what they call a sodium layer at about, I think it's 300 miles up, and it activates that sodium layer. And so as the laser goes up, the light that comes back, they actually feed off a little bit of that laser. And as the atmosphere runs through those lasers, the telescope, the mirror on it is actually moving based on the changes in the atmosphere. So it's like putting on a pair of glasses for somebody that can't see that well. All of a sudden you put a pair of glasses on there. I mean, it's like clear. It's like super sharp. And that technology is just amazing. They're going to be building the world's largest telescope up on the summit of the mountain here in Mauna Kea. They're going to be using that same technology. It brings these ground-based telescopes to the same resolution as, like, say, a Hubble telescope that doesn't have to worry about that.
Ethan, I can tell you in the 13 episodes of Intrepid Photography Radio, nobody has broached that subject before.
But it's funny, though, because it all ties into lenses and photography. And, you know, I was shooting the summit of Mauna Kea 2 days ago. I had a 400-millimeter lens. My girlfriend and I are looking through the live view of my camera, and you could literally see, it looks like heat, you know, the atmosphere changing the image. So it affects us. But can you imagine a telescope that has a mirror that's 30 feet in diameter? I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. But anyway, it's a fascinating subject. I would look up Andrea Ghez. She's got a TED Talk, and you can learn more about the lasers.
Yeah. Can you spell Andrea's last name for us?
Yeah, it's G-H-E-Z.
Andrea Ghez on TED Talk. That is fascinating. I'm definitely going to check that out. That's amazing. So thank you. You know, and one of the things that when I spoke to Tony Corbell earlier on in our interviews, one of the things he commented on was one of the benefits of this career of photography is how it puts us in so many random, amazing, fascinating places with incredible people. And you've just borne that out for our audience that, you know, you being the guy with the camera has put you in a place like that. It's amazing. What a blessing.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
All right. On a much lighter note, here is your last question and probably the most difficult of all. So are you sitting down?
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
This is from my 10-year-old, the Big H. Are you ready?
All right. This will be the hardest one.
It will be. And I've asked a few other photographers the same thing on the show. Here's the question. What advice would you give me as a kid who wants to make a living as a landscape nature photographer?
Well, I think you've got to be good in sales. And I say that because he's going to be have to convince you to get a camera and then take some classes. And maybe you can teach him as well, obviously. But you definitely need a camera. And I think just shoot the stuff that you love. If you've got a passion for photography, there's nothing that can stop you. And just be so good that people will buy your pictures. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll pass that along to him. So.
All right.
Well, sir, it is with great chagrin that I confess we are out of time. But before I rudely hang up the phone on you, please tell our audience how they can keep in touch and follow what you're doing.
Well, I've got my website, ethantweedy.com. I'm on Instagram under Ethan Tweedy. I have my fan page, Ethan Tweedy Photography. And then if you just want to be a friend, I'm also on Facebook as well. I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and everything. Just Google Ethan Tweedy and you'll find me on there.
That's Ethan Tweedy, capital TWEEDIE.
Bingo.
Ethan Tweedy, thank you, sir, for being here.
Bill, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and look forward to your other interviews for sure.
I appreciate that. Thank you for being here, and kind listener, thank you for being here. If you've enjoyed the show, I'm asking you to share it right now, as in at this very second, at this moment, right now, scroll down, share this with two of your friends, pretty please. And if you'd like to hear more from the show, kindly sign up for our email alerts at the bottom of this post. Thus ends another episode. I am your host, Bill Ramsey. Thank you again, and we will see you next time on Intrepid Photography Radio.